You're listening to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM. This morning here, I'm in the studio with Brian and Shell, the producer at the Dex. Brian is covering for Lawson today. And before we jump in our Bible study on the Gospel of Mark, one of my favorite stories. I probably say that every time there's a story because all these stories are my favorite, but this one is very special. You cannot miss it. It's about Jesus healing a leper, and there's so much to unpack there. But before we go any further, what is the next quiz question, Brian?
Alrighty. Paul, Timothy, and what other person wrote the first letter to Thessalonians? So what's the other author? You got Paul and you got Timothy. Who else wrote the first letter to Thessalonians? Text in your answer to 0491-064-669, and we will be drawing today, very shortly at 8:45, a free cookbook. Get your answers in. We'd love to get that out to you and have you be the lucky winner of a very great and healthy cookbook. That's 0491-064-669. Paul, Timothy, and what other person wrote the first letter to the Thessalonians?
There you go. And the cookbook is whatever Revive Cafe cookbook of your fancy.
That's true. Your choice. We recommend four.
It can be anyone. Let me give you another example here of a flavor booster. Moroccan butternut hummus. Now, ooh, I love hummus. Not only, I wouldn't say I'm not a plant-based person. I can say I'm a hummus-based person.
Oh, yeah.
Chickpeas are my thing. I have a Lebanese heritage here, so my genes vibrate every time that I have a good hummus, lemony tahini. I've shared my hummus recipe on this show some time ago. It was an instant success. But sometimes you do need to replace the flavor. Add a beetroot or add some butternut, add some Moroccan spices there just to play a little bit with the flavors, you know, because we as human beings, we like change a little bit. And knowing how to do a good go-to hummus recipe, it's amazing. You go back home, Shell, you're hungry. You grab a carrot, you grab your hummus, there you go. You have your proteins, you have your fiber, you have the tryptophans that are in the chickpea that help you to, your brain to produce serotonin, the happy hormones. Look, there's hummus, one of the wonders of God's creation. If you want to know how to make a proper one, please, this is one of your penultimate chance to enter the draw for the Revive book of your choice. We're promoting book 4. You will not regret it. 0491-064-669.
I need your recipe.
Okay, I'll give it to you later. Because now, just had a message here from Sky saying, yes, Kathy, body mutilation. Yes, I think she's referring to our comment on the current news about Biden's administration backstepping their opposition for political reasons against what they call the so-called gender-affirming surgeries for minors. I'll tell you one thing. There's a Dutch university study that pointed that 70 to 75% of youth suffering from gender dysphoria will no longer report being gender dysphoric, or will at least decrease the degree of their dysphoria by the time that they leave their teenage years.
Yeah, which is wild.
By the time that they leave puberty. So 75%. Then the other 25%, often they report decrease. Only a very minority declare that they actually increased their gender dysphoria. So, you know, I would actually even go further, Shell. If I was the president of the United States of America, something that is so, so close to happen, right? I would actually, you know, say, hey, you know what? Anything about these kinds of surgeries, I would even raise the minimum age to 25, because only by the age of 25, our frontal lobes are fully developed. Until then, we're not even fully matured yet as far as making decisions goes. So yes, you want to talk about liberty and so on, medical choices, liberty, yes, all for it. Do not impose that on children. Something that they cannot, that if they regret, it's irreversible.
Yeah.
And I would even say, raise it up if this is what you want. At least let people make a properly informed choices. And as the CAS report says, before jumping into the radical, life-changing, not reversible measures. Hey, what about starting by having some psychological sessions and talking through things? Wouldn't that be reasonable?
That might already be a requirement.
But it's not. It's no, not. Really. It's not. It's not a requirement at all. Mm. The requirement that what the practice is. Yes, you have maybe one or two counseling sessions, but the protocol treatment is jumping straight to to puberty blockers, to cross sex hormones injections, in some cases surgeries, and what the CAS report has found is that hey. Before you even consider any of that, why not going through some psychotherapy and seeing if there's any other problems? Because they said that often gender dysphoria comes with correlated conditions.
Yeah.
You know, anxiety, depression, self-esteem issues, and so on. So often they say, well, treat these first, and then you know, start with the less intrusive approach, and then you go to the more intrusive ones, if necessary.
Yeah.
But there's not even any logic.
That's reasonable.
Okay. Let's go to the Bible study here. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 verse 40 to verse 45. Let's talk about this one. This is a beauty. This is a gem. This is going to brighten your day. The word of God entering your heart. It's going to give you a boost. And I promise that I'm going to share with you something that you probably haven't heard or read anywhere. Okay. But let's go for it.
All right. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as
let's just pause.
Yeah.
Let's just pause. There's already so much to unpack here. So this leper came, he was beseeching Jesus, mm-hmm. and he says something that we cannot miss his words. He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." He never doubted Jesus' power to cleanse him.
Amazing.
There's another episode of a man whose son was struggling with demonic possession. He says, "Lord, if you can help me, help me." And Jesus says, "If I can, all things are possible to those who believe."
Yeah.
This man here did not have that attitude, Brian. It says, if you are willing, it says you can. And let me just highlight here a thing, important thing, the faith of that man carrying leprosy. By the way, having leprosy in the biblical times was not a fun thing.
No.
It means that you needed to be living out of the town, excluded. Often the only people who would have the compassion to serve your needs, to bring you foods, would be your family members when it happened. When it happened,
true.
You had to go out. There was no really medication or treatment available there. Sometimes you just have to rely on your body being healing or God making a miracle on your behalf.
Yeah.
You had to go out in the streets, covering your mouth, whatever you needed to go there, saying, "Unclean, unclean. Get out of the way." So there was stigmatized. People saw those who bore leprosy as being afflicted by God. They would look at you. They will, wave their heads, nod their heads in disapproval, saying, "You deserve what you got." Now, the Bible never says that, but this was the cultural belief. And this man came to Jesus because, number one, he knew that Jesus' nature was not to reject him.
Yeah.
Jesus' nature was not to reject him. Jesus says, "I will not shun away anyone whom the Father sends to me." Satan wants us to believe that Jesus rejects the unclean, that Jesus rejects the sinners, that you have to be perfect before you approach to God, that Jesus wants you to come to him as you are. With all of your uncleanness, the only requirement is having faith. Faith in what? In his power, yes, but faith in his goodwill towards you.
And I love that the passage just before this, we see Jesus healing other people. And so this leper, he sees Jesus doing these miracles and he sees Jesus healing, but he actually believes that it can be for him. It's not just reserved for other people. It is also for him. That he can come and he can approach.
Absolutely. And perhaps he didn't come when the multitudes were being healed because of his condition. But he knew that if he just could approach Jesus, by himself and ask him to clean, he might have a chance. Let's see what happened next after the studio break here.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
The next thing, Brian, that I want to highlight is that the leper said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He doesn't say, hey, if you are willing, you should make me clean. You must make me clean. Sometimes people assume that God has to always heal us from our physical infirmities.
Yeah.
But it's not always the case. Because while God is willing and he will heal all physical infirmities by the time of his second coming, sometimes God is glorified the most when we are the weakest.
That's absolutely right.
When we are the weakest, our testimony that God is still worthy to be worshipped and to be followed speaks with megaphones. When you say, you know what? Yes, God may have not decided to heal me, but I'll still place my faith on him.
Mm.
What are you saying? You're saying God is worthy of being praised, of being honored, of being worshipped just because of who he is, just because of what he promises to do. And how he treats me, I actually find contentment in whatever circumstance I'm in. So look at the faith of this man. He says, you can. Meaning that, oh, if you don't, you're still worthy.
Yeah.
And Jesus, the Bible says, he was moved with compassion. And the word in Greek here for compassion, it's the literal translation is Jesus was moved in his inward parts. He felt something. Jesus was 100% human. He was not an impassionate God. Now, there is this concept that God has no feelings, has no emotions. This is a Greek concept. And the Bible just tears that concept apart as Samson tore the lion with his own hands.
Mm.
Jesus feels. He feels compassion. He feels pity. He knows that we are only dust. And Jesus touched him. Now, I'm going to share with you something here, exclusive to yes. Faith FM, exclusive to The Breakfast Show.
Do share.
I don't know. Have you heard this before? I don't know. This was something that I believe the Holy Spirit helped me to arrive at that conclusion by reading the Bible. Jesus touched the man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 5 and verse 2, we see a problem here. Go to Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 2, Brian.
Let me pull it up.
Leviticus chapter 5 verse 2, there's a problem to that. There is a problem. However, we're going to see how Jesus solves that problem. That's the interesting part.
Right. It says here in Leviticus 5 verse 2, or if a person touches any unclean thing, whether it is the carcass of an unclean beast, or the carcass of unclean livestock, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, so lots of unclean things, and he is unaware of it, he shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touches human uncleanness, whatever uncleanness with which a man may be defiled, and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty.
So Jesus was touching human uncleanness here. According to Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 2, if he was any regular, ordinary person, what would happen is that not only that man would not be cleansed, but he himself would be unclean now.
Yeah.
These are some laws. They have to do with health. It's not good for anyone to be touching any carcass. Who knows what kind of bacteria and decomposing agents are there. They are detrimental for human health. So the Bible says here very clearly, hey, this is looking after your health is a holiness requirement. Looking after your health is part of my plan for you. It's part of what makes you distinct as a people. And hey, do not touch any uncleanness. And if you do, you are unclean. Meaning, being unclean, that does not mean that you're a sinner. It's not a sin, but it means that you cannot touch other people. You have to wash yourself. Basically, there's a hygiene component to it.
Yeah.
However, Jesus touched him.
Intentionally.
He touched the untouchable. He touched the one who was marginalized. He touched the one who's not even family would dare to touch.
Yeah.
He touched and something happened. What happened? Read for us verse 42.
Verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed.
Boom. And again, we see the word immediately here.
Yeah.
Immediately when Jesus says something, boom, things immediately change. Now, I wanted to share with you a Bible verse that speaks to that in an incredible way. I want you to open the Bible to Exodus chapter 29 and verse 37 for us.
Exodus 29 and 37.
Prepare to have your mind blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, beloved listeners, prepare because you're going to hear something amazing straight from the scriptures. Go for it, Brian.
29:37. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar must be holy.
That's right. What is the... Let's read in a different translation here because there's a difference here. That's a better translation here. I'll read from the New American Standard Bible. For 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and consecrate it, and the altar shall be most holy, and whatever touches the altar shall be holy.
It becomes holy.
Becomes holy. We talk about the Holy of Holies, don't we?
Right.
What is the Holy of Holies traditionally? It's the inner compartment of the sanctuary. So you look at the sanctuary, there's the holy place. There's some objects there. There is the candlestick. There's the altar of incense. There's the table of the showbread.
Yep.
There's a curtain separates that. And once a year, the high priest would enter the most holy or the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
In Hebrew, the word is Kodesh Kadashim.
Mm-hmm.
Kodesh is holy. Kodesh Kadashim is super holy. Holy of Holies. Perfect holiness, if you want.
Yeah.
Most holy.
Yeah.
How a lot of Bible translations say. So that space was the most holy. It contained the Ark of the Covenant. Within the Ark of the Covenant, there was the Ten Commandments. There's the rod of Aaron. There is a manna. And, you know. But here, the Bible is saying that what is Holy of Holies is not that inner compartment of the sanctuary, but it is the altar of Holocaust, the altar of burnt offerings, the one at the entrance of the sanctuary.
Right. Okay.
That was also called Kodesh Kadashim. That was also called Holy of Holies. And it had such a property that whoever touched it, that person became holy themselves.
They were cleansed.
They were cleansed. So now Jesus touches an unclean person. And what happens? Did Jesus become unclean? No.
No.
The leper man, the leper became holy.
Holy.
He became cleansed.
Healed, clean.
Jesus, the demon said, I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Now Mark is saying, correct, but not entirely. Jesus is not only the Holy One of God. He is the Holy of Holies.
Mm.
He is the most holy being in the universe. And that altar of sacrifice, which represented the death of Jesus, the death of the innocent, to forgive the guilty, to forgive the sinner, Jesus saying, the star of the sanctuary saying, this is the holiest of holy acts performed by the holiest of holiest of beings.
Yeah.
Jesus is the holiest of holies. This is why whatever he touched became cleansed. And when Jesus touches us, with his touch of holiness, this is when we became saints. This is when we became set apart for a special purpose. This is when we are no longer slaves to the wants of our flesh, to the lies of this world. But all of a sudden, our minds start to sink in with God's desire for us. And whatever life challenges, it's thrown at us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that happened. And imagine how the leper must have felt. The Bible says here, and he sternly, but you know, he was happy, but Jesus sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And Jesus said to him, verse 44, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So Jesus says, okay, Don't tell anyone.
Provide evidence you've been cleaned and move on. Get through the paperwork. Just get it approved. Be quiet.
And as a result of that, well, what happened is that the leper did not heed to the warning of Jesus. He was so elated. He was so happy.
I know you blame him.
He was proclaiming it freely. He was spreading the news around. And as a result, Jesus, the Bible says here, could no longer publicly enter a city, but he had to stay out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. The question is, why did Jesus say to the leper to not tell anyone? What is Jesus trying to protect here?
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We are having a blast here studying the Bible with you about the book of Mark. And the question was, what was the question, Brian? But before we go into the question that was before, what is the quiz question of this segment? The last one.
So
the ultimate question.
Last entry for you, the cookbook here. Question number 5. In Daniel 7, who came with the clouds of heaven to the Ancient of Days? We are after the specific title of the person who came with the clouds of heaven to the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7. Text in your answer to that question to 0491-064-669, and we would love to see it, because it's your last shot at trying to get into the cookbook. We're pulling that just in a few minutes, 8:45, and cookbook of your choice, by the way, and some of the recipes sound pretty incredible to me. 0491-064-669, Daniel 7, who came, the specific title, with the clouds of heaven to the Ancient of Days.
Okay, Stephanie. I'll give you one last recipe here of the Revive Cookbook 4. If so far, all that we've said to you haven't swayed you to participate, this one will. Tofu mayo. Mayonnaise based on tofu that you can add to your sandwiches, to your burgers, to your... Shelly's not a big fan, apparently.
You would have got me on the hummus one better.
Turn your microphone on. Shell, do you have an issue with tofu or with mayo or both? Let us know.
Oh, I do love mayo, and there are a couple of good brands, but for me, the only version to go with is Veganaise, which is an American...
Okay. Wow. Oh, okay. Look, if you send your text message...
I just don't like the way Australians do mayonnaise.
Okay.
Period.
All right. Okay. I'll do something. I'll do an act of public service here today. If you're interested in knowing my recipe of plant-based mayo that I learned that is absolutely incredible, to quote Donald Trump, the likes of which the world has never seen before, send your text message with the word mayo, 0491-064-669. If we have 5 people texting in the word mayo, I will share with you next week my mayo recipe. And once you learn that one, it's just one of these moments that you cannot undo in your life. It's just like going from dial speed internet to broadband internet.
Oh, wow.
You just don't even know how you survived all these years without it. So if you want to know, certified fresh. It's different from Jeremy Dixon's. It's a Japanese style, but it is, as Lawson, who's not here, would say, the GOAT. The greatest of all time recipes. Let us know, 0491-064-669, with the word mayo, if you're interested. Let us talk about Kadesh Kadashim. Let's talk about the
Bible.
Hold on,
I just got a request.
Oh, yes.
You need to bring some in on Monday so that we can... The co-hosts can actually... You know, sample it and.
Okay. All right. Bring your veggies or something to eat with it, and I'll bring
for
it.
For sure.
So you will let me know if you agree that it's the greatest of all time or not. Look, it's so good. It's very good. I have some friends of mine that actually glued that recipe to their fridge doors.
Glued it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, like, okay, this is the mayonnaise. And there was a bit of a thing between, oh, this is Camila's recipe or Joseph's recipe. And then my friend says, oh, Camila's recipe. And then her husband, he scratched it and said, no, it's Joseph's recipe. Come on. Thank you. Thank you, my friend Julian, for giving me the credit. It's not my creation, by the way. I just saw it in a book. I replicated it. But you know what? I owned it now.
Good.
Okay, cool. Let's go back here. Margaret says, hey, mayo recipe, please. Okay, we have one. Oh, Denise said mayo. Christopher said mayo. Oh, come on. We have 3. Two more. Oh, Janelle said mayo as well. So there's just one more person missing. So if this is you, just text us with the word mayo. Okay, let's go back here to Bible study. We have to land this airplane. Why did Jesus sternly ask the leper to not tell who was the one who healed him? What do you think, Brian?
Well, he immediately went to the Pharisees, and then he wasn't allowed, or he didn't feel comfortable, or the insight into the Pharisees. My guess is, just looking at the times and the tension and the political power, religious power, where he was able to be freely able to share his ministry and not in some ways you might call expedite the end that he got to, because we know the end. We know that the Pharisees hated the man and crucified him. So, hey, you're going to the people who don't like me and who don't like what I'm about. Can you not say that it was from me? And that I can just continue to work in a subtle and quiet way. Unfortunately, this is very early in Mark, so clearly it didn't really work out. That'd be my guess, is just as political and social antagonism, almost, you might say.
I think you are right. I think that was certainly one of the reasons, but I do not think it was the reason.
Yeah, okay.
Because as you said very well, look, the messianic nature, the title of Messiah, was clad with all kinds of political overtones.
At the time, for sure, particularly. Right?
And it would make Jesus' mission and ministry more difficult. As it has already started happening. Mark says, hey, because of that, Jesus could no longer even walk freely in towns. He had to preach from the outskirts, and people would come to him.
Yeah.
Because he was raising so much opposition. I want to read a passage from you, from my absolutely favorite book aside from the Bible. It's a biography of Jesus called Desire of Ages by writer Ellen White. I read this book multiple times. I recommend this book. This book will inspire faith, will make you cry, will help you to understand. And I'm just going to give you a snippet of the glory, you know, of this inspired work. And this is what it says here. Desire of Ages, page 265. Jesus immediately charged the man not to make known the work that had been wrought, but straight away to present himself with an offering at the temple. Such an act would have been a testimony. Listen well, would have been a testimony to the priests and to all the people that the leper had been cleansed. Let me just close there. No, I haven't finished yet. But then I need to say one thing. One of the things that Jesus is saying, he is saying, hey, do what the law of Moses says, because I am the one who gave the law to Moses. A lot of people create an animosity between Jesus and the Old Testament for some reason. Well, Jesus was the one, he says the scriptures, they are the ones testifying of me. Yeah. If you don't believe in Moses, you won't believe in me. Come on now. Jesus is sanctioning the law of Moses. Says, yeah, just do as the law of Moses commands. I'm not against the scriptures. I'm not against the Old Testament in any way, shape, or form. But let me continue the quote here. Such an act would have been a testimony to the priests and to all the people that the leper had been cleansed. If the priests knew of the cure, they might have put a false construction on it. Jesus, and this is the punchline, Jesus wanted to protect the man from their jealousy and their prejudice and to guard against their misleading the people.
To protect the Pharisees.
He was to protect the leper. Because when you look at other instances where Jesus healed, for example, a blind man, what happened to them? They were reviled instantly by the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. Jesus knew that this leper would, you know, probably not be able to hold out his mouth. And yet, his warning was to protect the leper. You know why? Because God does not put his own security first. He doesn't put his own reputation first. Mm-hmm. He puts our eternal well-being first. He puts our health first.
Amen.
This is Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's him. That's Jesus.
It was to protect him.
Selfless.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
This is now the time. It is now the time to spin the wheel and see who will be crowned with the revived cookbook of your choice. Shout the producer, whenever you're ready, spin that wheel. And the wheel is spinning, 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 spinning. And we have a winner. Congratulations, Sky. You got the revived cookbook of your choice. You can choose from any of them. If you need any help, let us know. You can just go online, put like revived cookbooks, have a browse through, see which one is going to bless you and your family the most, and let us know, and we are going to make sure it is sent straight to you. Okay, let's reveal the answers to the quiz questions, Brian. Question number one was, who prophesied that a star would come out of Jacob?
And I wouldn't have believed this, except having read the story. It's Balaam.
Balaam
the donkey.
Balaam, yes, from the talking donkey story. He had this amazing prophecy. Look, I love the story of Balaam. And one of the things that I love about the story of Balaam is that Balaam was a very subtle and crafty person.
Yeah.
He had an appearance of godliness. He would say all the right words, but he, in his heart, all that he really wanted is to get richer.
Yeah, material gain.
Wealth, yes. But when you look at him, just taking at his words, if you don't look at the details on the passage, you think, oh, man, he's just like a great guy. But no, he wanted to do his own way, and God allowed it. It's amazing. It talks about the freedom of will of people, but it also talks about the freedom of speech and freedom of will of prophets. God does not allow prophets to speak, true prophets, to speak against the words that God has said to them. And this is one of the security checks and marks that we have in the Bible.
So
because
good.
People ask, hey, how do we know that these prophets were not hallucinating and right. saying something wrong? Well, the story of Balaam tells us that a prophet speaking as a capacity of a prophet, they do have the free will to choose the words, but they do not have the free will to change the intent of what God wants to speak to them. And this is, I believe, fascinating.
It's amazing.
The story of Balaam, it's filled, it's rich, it's amazing. Next one, Paul asked Titus to bring him Zenas, who was a what?
He was a lawyer.
He was a lawyer. Yes, Paul was in prison. He needed a lawyer. So, you know, why not bring him Zenas? When God instructed Moses to pour out water on the ground, what did the water become?
Blood, which is blood. much worse somehow.
Yeah, that was the first plague of Egypt. And it, all of a sudden, all of the sources of water in Egypt, including the river, Nile River, became blood. And the Egyptians had a lot of deities.
Yes.
You know, one of the deities was the deities of the waters of the Nile River. And all of the plagues are a statement saying, hey, where are your deities now, O Egyptians?
Uh-huh.
I am the ultimate God. I am the most powerful one. If you don't obey me by that reason, what are you doing? You know, if you don't. Okay, Paul, Timothy, and what other persons wrote the letter to the Thessalonians?
Paul and Silas. Silas is the guy.
And in Daniel 7, who came with the clouds of heaven to the Ancient of Days?
The Son of Man.
The Son of Man, which Jesus. Was the preferred title of Jesus. Let me just say something here to finalize, you know, our story. Jesus knew that the leper was going to impair his mission, and yet Jesus healed him anyway. This is my takeaway from that, Brian. Jesus treats us not according to our failures, but he treats us according to our potential to obey him.
Amen.
He looks at the potential and he treats us with that dignity of a son of a daughter of God.
Mm.
He gives us the chance. He gives the opportunity. If we fail, okay, we fail. We repent. We say sorry. We keep going. We learn. But Jesus, this is not the kind of God that says, oh, I know that you're not going to live up to your potential. Therefore, I'm going to give you. No, sorry, I'm going to give you a chance. I believe in you.
You're not even going to follow my instructions or commands afterwards, necessarily. I'm still going to work on your behalf.
Yeah. So this is the mercy of Jesus here. And another thought that I wanted to share is that we should come to Jesus with our uncleanness, because when we touch him, we will be made holy. Mm. So are you feeling unclean? Are you feeling that, you know, that God is not even looking upon you? Hey, this is the best time to go to God. Bring to God your uncleanness and he will give you his touch of holiness and cleanness. He will make you clean. But go to God. Do not wait any further. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today is the day of healing, the Bible says. Today is the day to reach out to God. And to answer the Katarina's question of the day, I will answer one of the things that I said to her. I said, Katarina, obeying Jesus is the right thing to do, and it feels so good to do the right thing. Have you talked to Jesus today, beloved listener? If not, well, there's a great opportunity for you to do so right after this show. And as we are approaching the end of our program, fear not. There's still plenty of amazing, wholesome, holy, holistic, beautiful programming here on Faith FM. Right after our show, we have our friends from Tazzy Encounters right here on Faith FM. You can listen to us at 87.6 or 88 or through the Faith FM app. You can also listen to our podcasts anytime. All of our shows are available to you as a podcast. And before we go, as is our tradition, we want to offer a gift to you, a book. What is the book, Brian?
I'd like to offer a book that Scaffy's mentioned a few times throughout this episode, The Desire of Ages. For me, it's a personal book that has made a massive impact on my life over the years. In fact, it was the book that resulted really in my own conversion and me coming to an understanding that happiness is found in knowing Jesus. And that's the only place and source I can find happiness. So because it's come up so much in this book, in this episode, and because it's had such an impact on my life and Scaffy's as well, that's the book I want to give to you guys. It's an incredible book, and if you want it, just text in the phrase, the word, I am willing. I would love to get that to you. I am willing. I will get you a copy of The Desire of Ages.
Fantastic, and this is it. Well said. So say the word, I am willing, to 0491-064-669. This is it for today. This is it for this week. But on Monday, we will be back. We have Justin Lohmann intervening, talking about politics, military alliances, and all that more. You cannot miss Monday's show. So talk faith, live faith, and act faith.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.